Greetings and welcome to the Geek Legacy Lounge, where we get the opportunity to speak with some interesting people in various fields. My name is Steven, co-host of the Pixelated Podcast, and today's interview will be with musician Laura Saggers. Laura recently released a music video to go with her single titled 10,000 Bitcoins, which has received attention from the LA Times, CNN, and more. In addition to talking about her newest song, Laura will discuss her musical career, which includes an 80s cover band, her other musical releases, and how she remains so versatile with acting, modeling, and teaching. Without further delay, here is Laura Saggers in the Geek Legacy Lounge. All right, Laura, so tell me about this song, 10,000 Bitcoins. First off, what made you want to write a song about this mythical currency system that a lot of people don't understand?
Yeah, that's a great question. I got into Bitcoin about 8 or 9 months ago, and it's a brand new community. It's only really been around for about 2 years, and it's only just beginning to get into the mainstream, but it's getting a lot of attention just because of the success of it. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of bad press, but that's pretty much how the newspapers work. There's a lot of good things about it that they're not really talking about, and I've experienced a lot of success with it, so I wanted to write a song about it because I'd hadn't seen anyone else do a music video, and I just wanted to, so I did.
Yeah, and the music video that you did for it, you kind of did it as like a press sort of gathering. I mean, you kind of have the, I guess, the inflation of Bitcoin going through the song and kind of the value changing as does the sets change. You know, what was the idea when you were filming that? What was the message that you wanted to portray?
It was almost kind of not really to mock the media industry at the moment, but it was kind of to give out a good outlook on it, because everyone who doesn't really know that much about Bitcoin is just inundated with terrible news at the moment about MT Gox and that people have had stuff stolen and all this negative information. And there's a lot of good stuff out there, like you can buy a plane ticket now, you can buy a car, there's loads of stuff that you can do with bitcoins, and a lot of people are finding a lot of success with it. So I wanted to feature that, and I thought the best way to do that would be in some sort of news round approach, and it seemed to do quite well. And I got to dress up in a bunch of character outfits, which I was just delighted with.
That's always great, isn't it?
Right, so much fun.
It's always fun when you just get to costume change 9-10 times for one shoot. That's great.
Yeah.
So have you thought about actually doing like seminars to teach people about Bitcoin? Because like I was saying at the beginning of the interview, it's something that a lot of people, and you've even mentioned it yourself, that a lot of people just don't understand, and they're kind of scared by it just because it's a new system. And obviously people don't like change in that regard.
That's exactly right. And I think a lot of people are really, really worried about it, mainly just because of that, because they don't like change. But I adore change, and I think that in order to move on up and improve on your life, that you should accept change no matter how difficult it is. Just be really smart about it. And unfortunately, this particular change takes a lot of research, and you know, you can't just like turn on and click on it. You have to really know what you're doing. But I think in time that's going to change, because the more people that get involved and the simpler it becomes. It's still kind of on its beta stage, really, even though it's been around for a couple of years. But general public-wise, it's still in its early, early days. And that's just going to do nothing but improve. It's going to be easier for people to just log on and click and suddenly own a Bitcoin and start using them instantly. It takes a little bit of work at the moment, but it's just going to become easier.
And from what I understand, in recent months, Bitcoin has even evolved to where you can actually have a credit card with your Bitcoin information on it. And people some venues are starting to accept that now. Do you feel like that's going to be a trend that we're going to see a lot more of in the near future?
I can't guarantee it, but I hope so. I definitely think it's the way forward. It's so easy. There's no middleman with regards to transactions. You don't have to be verified by Visa. You literally just have your money, and it goes from your account to someone else's account instantaneously. So that's what the benefits are, and you don't have to sign up for it. Like, you have to prove your credit or anything to do with that. You just instantly own it, and then you can trade with it.
So I was going to ask, what are the main reasons that you're so big on the Bitcoin? Are those reasons kind of the starting point, or is that pretty much what you're going with?
Two reasons. One, I've just really enjoyed being part of the trading system. It's just something I wanted to. I had a little bit of money at the very beginning, and I wanted to invest in something other than just putting it into a bank account. And I had a lot of fun trading with it, and I still do. I've had a lot of people pay for my single in Bitcoin, and a lot of people come to me saying, oh, can I just donate money? I really want to help the cause. And that's been one side of it. The other side is just that I honestly see that this is where the internet's going, and this is almost a few words. I heard the phrase the other day, like the gold rush of the internet, and I believe that's where it's at right now. It's really important to get onto this, not necessarily to invest your entire life savings into it because it's still a bit of a risk, but risk is good. And I think everyone should start to at least open their ears up to the possibilities of what you can do with Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre because I heard a story about this guy had a couple of Bitcoin stashed away in a hard drive. He took the hard drive, threw it in his
Wales.
Closet, and now he's this, I don't know, this millionaire or something. I'm just like, I don't get how that works out, but I want to get involved that way if he can make money that easily, you know?
That way, that was kind of back in the day when basically in a really, really simple, quick explanation of that, Bitcoin's like a code that you can download some software onto your computer and get your computer to start searching for those codes. I could go into tons and tons more explanation. That's pretty much the gist of it. Once your computer finds a code, you then own a Bitcoin. You can either do that or you can go and straight up buy one that someone's already found. But back in the day, those codes were, there were so many of them and they're really easy to find. So they were only worth like 0.00002 cents or something ridiculously small. And because they're so easy to what we call mine, a lot of computer guys had thousands and thousands of them on their computer. And only when someone's just started making the first trade did it start to grow in, I guess, what the currency worth. And so the more people started trading, the more the actual code was worth. And so now it's worth up to like, at the moment it's like, I think 480, but it used to be 1,000 and then it was like 800. It fluctuates quite a lot, but again, it's still in its early stages. It will settle down eventually, I think, personally. And so you do have a lot of those computer people who have thousands of these codes, and there's many, many, many millionaire Bitcoin owners out there.
So going back to the music aspect of the song, what are people's reactions when they generally hear about this? Do they immediately understand where you're coming from? Do they just say, oh, it's a great song, and kind of overlook the fact that it's about this, you know, currency system that you're talking about?
I've had the success with it that I was really hoping for, which is just to get the word out. It's a super commercial, catchy, like a little, it's a cute song. It's really easy to listen to. It's not complicated, but the lyrics are very, very clear. And so people start going, wait, what's Bitcoin? And that's exactly what I wanted, because I've had loads of people I don't know and lots of fans and non-fans come onto my website or email me and go, can you please explain to me what Bitcoin is? And that was the whole point of it, was because I wanted to get the general public just to start listening to it, because it's in the news, but it's amazing how many people have never heard of it. And if I really believe that this is where it's going, I'd quite like to help out and get people to understand it better.
And your music video was featured on a lot of really big websites with a lot of really good exposure. Tell me what that process was like and how you kind of found out when it showed up on, say, the CNN website, for instance.
Well, I sat there. I've done my business. I did a business degree in music before I came out to America, just to make sure I had everything in order and that I knew what I was getting myself into. I think there are a lot of artists that just go head in and then, dare I say, get screwed around. So I want to make sure I never did that. But marketing was my major, if you will. And so I was just taught that from my teacher that if you want something done, you've got to do it yourself and you've got to work really hard. So the 2 weeks leading up to the release of the video, I just did nothing but sit at home in front of my computer and research email addresses of specific people I would want, who I would think would be interested in that video. And I just emailed and emailed and emailed and just wrote personal emails to every single one of them. And I was surprised, not thinking anyone would actually respond, but the guy from the LA Times did respond. He goes, I'm interested, tell me more. And now I started freaking out. and then he put it up on his website on the Monday. And then a new, the Wall Street Journal put it up on their website on Tuesday. And then this massive German paper put it up on their website on Wednesday. And then my YouTube just skyrocketed. I just had so many people on there watching it. And I've had really great, just wonderful comments. I'm so used to going onto YouTube and seeing people, there's 50-50 people just sitting there dissing it and other people saying how great something is. But I've had nothing but people just say how wonderful it is and so supportive, and they've been so sweet, and I'm just really grateful for everyone's support with it.
And that was kind of a strange feeling, I know, for me, because I was, you know, browsing online. I saw the music video when it was first released, and then I see it on CNN, and I'm like, hey, I actually know this person. She's she's over here on this website, and I'm over here reading about it. Like, how bizarre is that?
I think it's amazing.
Of course. I mean, why wouldn't you think that? Of course.
I never ever thought it would go that far. I thought it would just be my immediate community and maybe my fan base that I've already built up with my other music in the past, just to get them to know about it. But once it hit the LA Times and Wall Street Journal, and then it went across the Atlantic to Germany, then I've had all these people email me and on my Twitter and my Facebook and write me messages in the different languages that I can't translate. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what you're saying. But I can see the word Bitcoin, so I guess that's good.
Hey, you just type in translate.google.com, throw it in there, and then you're good to go.
There you go.
There you go. Fan mail has never been so accessible nowadays.
Right.
Now, talk to me a little bit more about your music career, because you have a very diverse library. I mean, you obviously done this Bitcoin song. You've done a couple of others. You're in a cover band, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, you've gone all over the place and you've got all these different talents. Where did your music career start?
It started when I was in a restaurant with my parents when I was really little, about 4 years old, and The Little Mermaid just came out. And some jazz musician was sitting there playing piano, and I recognized this main song from The Little Mermaid. And I turned to him, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's playing an entire song on the piano in a jazz style. I was like, Mom, I want to do that. And that was it. I demanded a piano the next day, and I sat and had a tantrum until I got one. And they got like a rental piano because they didn't think this was going to last. And I haven't looked back since, and I've just been determined. I love music. It's my whole life. And unfortunately, with musicians, I can't stress enough that it's really, really important to keep your options open. A lot of people say you need to stick with one style, and I agree with that to an extent. Right now I'm on the singer-songwriter route just because I love it, and that's what I'm into right now. Before, when I was my late teens, I had an emo band, and I don't care that that's completely different because that's who I was at the time, and I really enjoyed it. And you've got to just keep your options open, because in order to make money as a musician, you've got to be able to do a lot of things. You can't just sit there and write music and hope for the best, because that may not happen for you. So you've got to make sure that you can perform live and perform well enough that you can get hired in a cover band. Cover bands are a brilliant form of income. Everyone always wants to be entertained. So if you can, and I got myself into an 80s cover band when I got out here, and it was so much fun and really well paid, and that pays the bills. And then on top of that, I teach 4 days a week, which I absolutely adore. And I just think it's really, really important to make sure that you've got your fingers in a bunch of, dare I say, pies, to make sure that your income's constantly being able to finance what your dreams are.
Plus, when you're a Roland-endorsed keytar player, I mean, everybody wants to be one of those, right?
Yeah, who doesn't?
Of course. It looks so awesome when it's on stage. It's a keyboard, but it's in a guitar form.
I mean, it's a handheld keyboard that I strap around, the strap goes around my back, and I have a wireless setup so that I have a guitar wireless plug-in that I put in to the output. And so that's like a little wireless, so I can literally go around the whole stage. I was in the 80s band running up and down the stage with no wires connected to me. So that made it really, really easy to entertain. So a lot of keyboard players are stuck behind the big, huge double-stack keyboard, and that's never been what I wanted to do. And so when the keytar came out and Roland got in contact with me, I was like, yes, I'm down.
For the listeners that didn't get the hint, Laura is endorsed by Roland for the keytar in the cover band that you're tell me a little bit more about the 80s cover band that you're in. It's Ankh, correct?
It's called the Fatal 80s. Ankh. There's a couple bands I'm in. I'm in the Jimmy Hopper Show, which is my more up-to-date band that I play with on a regular basis. And that's in... we played a lot in Vegas, and we played in Newport for a really long time. And then the Fatal 80s is Gretchen Bonaducci's 80s band, and that's just nothing but 2 to 4 hours, depending on how much we're hired for, of pure upbeat 80s. I want to say this. I mean, you've got to expect glitter when you hire that band.
I expect glitter everywhere I go. I mean, it doesn't matter where I'm going. I expect glitter somewhere. So that fits right in my bill. Perfect.
Yeah, it's a really fun, really fun gig to be up on stage. We played some amazing shows, actually. We got really lucky. When I first joined, we got booked at Universal Studios. And I think the second show I played with them on Universal Studios was in front of 20,000 people on New Year's Eve. And I was like, wow, there are more people I'm playing in a covers band than I am doing original stuff. But I don't care, because it's just the whole point of entertaining for people. And that's what makes the dream come alive. So it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah, and especially with a cover band, it's, you know, almost easier because those songs are already established. I mean, you can sit here and say, hey, I'm going to play Guns N' Roses stuff all night. You're going to get a bunch of people going up because, yeah, I love Guns N' Roses, and especially them. You can't really see that band anymore. So, right. You know, a cover band might be the next best thing. Whereas, like you were saying with your original stuff, it's pretty much starting from scratch. But at the same time, don't you think it gives you that fulfillment and that, hey, I made it this far on my own, writing my own songs, performing my own songs, and getting them out there my own way?
Absolutely. I mean, it's six or one and a half dozen of the other, really. You've got to make money, so you should learn. I always believe that all musicians should learn covers. Just because if you're a musician and you're trying to go out there with your own original stuff, if you play a full set of original music, I'm not convinced the people who've never heard of you are going to want to listen to the whole set. You've got to be able to engage in them, and not many people are going to sit there and be totally entranced on 30 minutes or an hour of music they've never heard. You add a couple of covers in there, even if they're your own take on it, and they're going to be immediately intrigued because it's something that they recognize, and that's just what you need to be doing to your audience, is like giving them something that they want and then also giving them a little bit of you.
Now, also with the music, with the 10,000 Bitcoin song, where do you go from here? It sounds like you've got something already in the works, correct?
I have a couple things. I have been approached after I did my music video by someone who really, really loved the way that I did the music video and was interested in seeing if I was capable of recreating, I guess, the news round setup and actually produce like a weekly webcast, I guess, if you call it that, a webisode, based on the setup of the music video, but actually just sit there and read the news reports and have a lot of fun with it. And so we're in talks right now, and I'm really hoping that goes ahead, because that's going to be so much fun if I get to do that. And so that's where the music video is spawned off, from that side. Plus, I get to keep the Bitcoin girl alive. The rest of my music, though, I've got two more singles that are due to come out, and then the album, and I'm looking to do a tour in the summer. And the next music video I'm going to release is called Move On, and the video is all ready to go. I've got a few more things that I need to work out, but I'm excited to release that one.
Going back real quick to that news show format where you're on stage, I mean, that sounds like an interesting idea, because we have, especially with the advent of YouTube, we have so many venues of getting daily news updates. But here it sounds like you'll be, correct me if I'm wrong, which I probably will be, you'll be on a music stage and just kind of performing the news updates?
No. Okay. Kind of. No. As in, the way that I did the music video was like, it was like a news read, but I was singing.
I see, okay.
Someone's come to me saying, would you actually be interested in doing this for real, as in actually reading the news, but in all your different characters and making it fun, because news is not generally that interesting or that entertaining, and that is right up my alley. So I'm hoping we go ahead with this, because I'm really excited to do something like that.
Yeah, news especially, it is what it is. I mean, the whole idea is you're relaying the information out to people, and especially with some of the news stories that come out on a regular basis, you know, you don't want to necessarily try to ham that up too much, because then you portray the wrong message. So I get where that's coming from.
Exactly.
In addition to your music, you also model, you act. I mean, is there anything you haven't done in the last 5-6 years? I'd imagine sleep is one of them.
You're not wrong there.
There we go.
Now, with all that, I've just been really lucky. Again, keeping your options open, and I have this thing that I just like collecting skills. And some of them I learn, and some of them I realize that I'm appalling at, and so I just let that go. But there's a couple of ones along the way that people have been like, oh, that's really good, you should pursue that. And I go, well, I don't know if I have time to pursue that fully, but I'm just going to leave it out there in case any opportunities come by. And so when it came by with a music video, I did get to do essentially a little bit of acting, because I had to act out these different characters. And so I get my fix with that. And then I have had some people, some movie producers, been emailing me asking what type of stuff I'm interested in doing. So keeping your options open is just really, really important, and just making sure that your skill base is at a decent level. I love acting, and I love comedy acting. I'm very, very picky. I've never really wanted to be a fully fledged, go out there every day on the grind and get whatever acting job I can get. If acting doesn't become my career, I'm not bothered. But I would adore to do parts like comedy acting and quirky girl next door, that type of thing, because I know I would be able to pull it off pretty well. Music's going to be my main forte there.
Yeah, and you recently had a role in a web series, Bullets, correct?
Yeah.
So talk to me. Obviously, that wasn't a comedic experience for you. But what was that whole process like? Just getting through with the Kickstarter. You know, kind of waiting to see. You don't know if the thing is going to get funded, and then at the last second, it does get funded, and actually being on set. You know, with the fans' money, essentially being able to do that. Is that something that you would be willing to do again through Kickstarter?
I would absolutely adore to do that. In fact, I'm thinking of doing, because that wasn't something that wasn't directly. I was in it as one of the characters, but I didn't. It wasn't my whole. I didn't set that up. So seeing the success and see how hard my friend Tyler, who directed it, worked and how well it did, I'm just inspired. And I've got a lot of friends who've done Kickstarter, and so I'm thinking that for the tour, I'd love to do a Kickstarter for the tour, because then I'd understand who would like to come, who would like me to come see them and perform. So I don't just pick random places to perform. I'd love to do a Kickstarter so I know where the fan base is, and so I can make sure I go to them.
Now, I gotta also say, in true English form, every single time I have personally met you, you have had to do a different dialect or a different accent on screen. And I just gotta ask, where do you pull all that stuff from, and how are you able to switch them on the fly like that?
I was born in the States. My parents are British, so I've always been around British-sounding people. But I was born in the States, and I lived there for quite a few years until we moved back to England. So when I was little, I had a very much, oh my God, like I talk like this all the time, American accent. And that only got punched out of me when I went back to England. And so I can flip between both of them really, really easily, but it's generally a British accent.
Yeah, it's really funny, because you see a lot of actors and actresses come over, you know, from England nowadays. They obviously have their home accent, and then when they're on screen every single time, they're speaking in what would be dubbed an American accent. Yeah. And there's so many of these actors, like Hugh Laurie, who was in House for years.
Oh, he's amazing.
Amazing actor.
His American accent's absolutely incredible. Americans just think he's American. And I was like, I can't believe he's British.
I was the same boat. I first heard him talk on the red carpet somewhere, like the Emmys or something. It's like, oh my God, he's British? I totally didn't see that one coming.
He's really good at it.
Yeah, it just happens so often, and it's always so fascinating to me how they're able to go back and forth like that. And then the question you always ask yourself is, so why don't they turn it off all the time? But that's staying true to their roots, I guess you would say, right?
I honestly don't know when I'm being British and when I'm being American. It's true, and a lot of people, like, I'll be talking to my dad on the phone, and I'll be like, ew, daddy, and it's really, 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 really British. And then I'll go to work, and I'll have an American accent, and I don't know, I just guess it's your instincts just don't really want you to show up anywhere, so I become American under the circumstances. So I don't really don't know.
It's like you were saying with the music video, being able to dress up as different characters in the same day. You just like that same mentality, right?
It's just fun.
Who doesn't want to be a different person every once in a while? Get out of this old body and just try something new.
It's like, instead of getting a haircut, just dress up differently. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, well, my hair doesn't never cooperate, so I just kind of, you know, throw whatever on then. There you go. Or a hat. Sometimes
hat,
I like to get fancy with a hat.
Beret, wig, there you go.
Exactly. I'll definitely try that wig next time. One of those old, like, Judge White wigs with the rolls. Anyway, if people wanted to get more information, updates on your music, anything else, any other projects that you might be on, tell me, is there a website where they can check out Laura Sagar's career?
Absolutely. It is laurasagars.com. And then also I have my Facebook, which is /Laura Sagars Music, and my Twitter, /Laura Sagars, and I've got Instagram, but I can't remember what that one is. When I do encourage people to come on, because I'm very active with my fans. They talk to me a lot and they give me their opinions. I really like hearing what they're up to, and then what they think of things I've put out, and I just like talking to them. It's really, really important. Fans are the most important thing in a music career. If you don't have them, you don't have anything.
And fans can watch the 10,000 Bitcoins video on your YouTube channel, correct?
Yeah, again, /Laura Sagars. And it's just been growing. It's just been incredible. So please, please go and watch it and let me know what you think.
And then is it also on iTunes?
I sold the Bitcoin single. I sold for Bitcoin, actually, via my website for the first 2 weeks. And so that's still a possibility if anyone has Bitcoins and would prefer to buy it. There's a link on my front page where you can go and buy it with Bitcoins. But all my other singles are on iTunes.
I should have assumed it was available through Bitcoin. So that only makes sense, right?
Well, I had to. I mean, it just would have been silly not to. It was so easy to set up too. I mean, providing you have a Bitcoin wallet, and I'm starting to go into details that confuse everyone, but if you have a Bitcoin wallet, it's just such an easy process, and it goes direct to your account. There's not, like I said, no middleman, no nothing going on. So it is really, really beneficial.
And then finally, your new single and new video that you were talking about earlier, just one more time, tell the audience where they might be able to look for it, around what time.
It's going to be the end of next month. This month now. Yeah, end of this month.
End of April, yes.
April now. So it's going to be the end of April, and it's going to be up on my website, and then it's also up on YouTube. But I have a mailing list where if anyone signs up to it, I always make sure that they always get the information first, and I always send out free downloads as well every now and again to people who have signed up to my mailing list, just out of sign of appreciation, because I try to send out a weekly or bi-monthly newsletter, just keeping it short, just keeping the updates going. But I've got quite a lot of people on there, and it's really nice to keep having their feedback.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best ways to really, you know, talk to the audience, because it's direct, it's right to their inbox. You know, it's a little bit more personal this way, and you can add, you know, obviously all your updates and all that stuff. I'm seeing more and more of those newsletters, or at least more and more people warm up to those newsletters. Beforehand, I was like, yeah, I don't want my email associated with this, but it's, you know, it's a great way to stay connected nowadays.
It is, and I do try and make sure they are short and to the point, because not many people have time to sit there and read through a waffle of information, so I try and do keep them short. Though if I'm over a little bit overexcited and it's 2 a.m, I do tend to go a little bit longer than I should do, but...
As a person who works relentlessly, I do appreciate these short posts, I will say that. Because I can read them, I can understand them, and like, all right, I can move on, and I can carry the information with me. So I thank you for that. Laura Seggers, thank you so much for joining me on this program. I really do appreciate it. We'll have to come back sometime when maybe the next song is out.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, not a problem. You have a great day now.
You too.
Once again, I want to thank Laura Seggers for coming down on the Geek Legacy Lounge. Be sure to follow her on her website, laurasaggers.com. You can also follow her on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Her latest music video, 10,000 Bitcoins, can be viewed on her website and her YouTube channel, obviously, where you can also download the song there. That's going to do it for this edition of the Geek Legacy Lounge. Be sure to visit geeklegacy.com for podcasts, features, reviews, and more. This is Steven reminding you to stay fabulous and keep your controllers charged.
Bitcoins, do you know what I would buy? Get you that car you wanted, yeah, the one with a rear-wheel drive. You could teach me how to drift, I'd be so cool, no lie. And I'll sit there by your side as you whiz up the freeway close to 155. If I had 10,000 bitcoins, I would take us on a tour of all your favorite breweries up and down the coast and more. And we'll sample all your favorite beer and sit out in the sun. And slowly getting drunk all day, it's you and me, we're always having fun. Having lots of money, that won't make you happy if you're super duper rich but all alone. It's having someone to share the dream. I'm so glad that you share mine with me. If I had 10,000 Bitcoin, I would pay for you to fly, so you could get your license to soar up into the sky. On a private plane so we could disappear at any time. We'll take a trip to Catalina Island or even to Hawaii. Having lots of money, that won't make you happy if you're super duper rich but all alone. It's having someone to share the dream. I'm so glad that you share mine with me. Bitcoin, yeah, I've barely got a dime. But a day does not go by where I don't work hard and I try to be the best that I can be. And when you're by my side, I don't need rocks and diamond pearls, 'cause I'm the richest girl in love alive. Money, money, I like money. It's fun when we've got some money. BTC, EMT, Gox, I'll keep on trading and I'll never stop. Wow, and do you tell me to? 'Cause I wouldn't know what to do if it wasn't for you.